get to the Rashaga part, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, Sniver Trail and 137th Avenues. We bring in Ryan Rashaga from TSN. Ryan, I know these things can vary kind of from year to year, but the Oilers had their skills competition yesterday. Did you know Benoit Pouliot had 102-mile-an-hour slap shots?
Yeah, no, I did not. When would you really see a guy open up and unleash a slap shot as hard as he possibly can like that in a game? Like, forwards, it's like a dying weapon in the NHL. I mean, like, have you ever seen Connor McDavid waste a slap shot?
No, I think I've maybe seen him take one in the last year he's been here.
Yeah, it's always the defenseman on the power play, right? Or a one-timer, like a Laine Ovechkin-type one-timer. But nobody ever takes a slap shot off the rush anymore. So, no, I didn't know. He should use it and try and get that thing off a little bit, because apparently it's a weapon.
Absolutely. He fired 102.2-mile-an-hour slap shot at the Oilers skills competition yesterday. If you go to Oilers.com, all the video is up there. Ryan, before we take a look at tonight's game, I want to go back to Saturday night for a quick second.
Sure.
That, to me, it really reminded me of a lot of those Battle of Alberta games between 2003 and maybe 2010, when Mika Kiprusoff flat out stole 2 points for the Calgary Flames. Is that what Cam Talbot did on Saturday night? Did he steal the 2 points for the Oilers?
Well, he definitely gave them a chance to stay in it. Like, he made some real nice saves during regulation. That's what they're supposed to do, right? I mean, the guy at the other end made some pretty nice saves too. So it was a night where both goalies, for the most part, did their jobs. And it was a real tight-checking type of game where goaltending was going to make a big difference. That if either team has a goalie that isn't right on that night, then that's the difference in a game that's that tight. But the margin for error is so slim. So I think you're bang on in that regard. But nice for the Oilers to head into some of these goaltending duels and have an opportunity to come out on top, because it's been some time since they've had the caliber of goalie that can go into a duel with anyone in the league and have a fighting chance to win. And that's the kind of goaltending they're getting from Cam Talbot. And in these tight games, he gives them a chance to get their feet underneath them.
That's something they haven't had in quite some time. Let's look up front. Milan Lucic, only 10 goals in 45 games. Let's just go game by game. Ryan, if Milan Lucic came up to you before the game and said, Ryan, what should I focus on doing tonight? What would you tell Milan to focus on tonight against the Coyotes?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I'd probably tell him to go have a chat with Patrick Maroon, because I think there was a stretch earlier in the season where I think Maroon was without a goal in 9 games. And he realized he'd gotten a little bit complacent. And I did this in a story with Maroon last week, talking about that game in Winnipeg where, I mean, he was challenged by the coach to maybe get his nose a little bit dirty, get back to some of the things that made him a different player than so many other guys, lean on that part of his toolbox that that gave him an advantage. And he did. He went and played a really physical game, ended up getting in a fight too. But aside from the fight, he was physical. He was mean. He was throwing hits. He had some snarl in him. Found a fight to get himself going. He stepped outside of his comfort zone, and I think that helped him, and he's been lights out ever since. So for Lucic, and we had a long talk with him today, and he kind of owned it. You know, he did. He said, maybe that's part of my game I need to try and get back to in order to try and find some results. You can't be running out of position all over the place to throw hits, though. That's the fine line. And Lucic, who's just an okay skater, trying to generate hits, you can really put yourself out of position a lot, but what you can't do is turn away from any of them. And he's been turning away from some hits lately. So I would suggest that getting back to basics is the best way to go. And that involves running some people over and getting a little bit of a snarl on his face, because that's when he can be at his most effective. And I think it's been a while since we've really seen that in him.
It looks like he'll be playing on a line again tonight with Drake Kachula and Anton Slepyshev, who's joined by Ryan Rashaga and the Rashaga Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. Ryan, is he the type of guy that is Todd McClellan putting Milan Lucic in the right position to succeed by putting him on a line with Drake Kachula and Anton Slepyshev?
No. I would say if you want to get him out of his funk, the best place for him is next to Connor. But on Todd's priority list, getting Milan Lucic out of his funk is not number one on his list. It's winning hockey games. And so that's a spot Lucic is going to have to earn. And right now there's another big fella sitting right at his place at the dinner table. So Patrick Maroon is firmly entrenched in that seat, playing well, seizing the opportunity and putting up goals and giving his team a better chance to win every night. So no, frankly, he's not. If what's wrong with his game can be complimented by other players, a rookie center, and A guy on the other side that doesn't have a lot of experience. I mean, that's Milan's going to have to be the driver on that line. So, no, he's not. But that's not Todd's priority right now. He's going to have to dig his way out of this on his own with the complementary players he's been given. But Lucic is enough of a veteran that he should be able to do that. He shouldn't need to have a certain type of player next to him to get him going. That's what being a $6 million player and a veteran in this league is all about. You get your own butt in gear. And Jordan Eberle's had to try and do that. Benoit Pouliot's had to try and do that on and off some different lines. And that's the task and the challenge for Milan Lucic, is to stow whatever frustration there is, get back to whatever ignites his game, and figure it out.
I thought Drake Caggiula has been one of the better Oiler forwards the last three or four games, Ryan. How have your expectations of Caggiula changed from when you first heard the Oilers sign him to now that you've seen him through 27 games? Is he better? Does he do something better than you thought he was? Or is he exactly what you thought he was going to give the Oilers?
I didn't know a lot about him, quite frankly. I mean, we all jump onto YouTube when we hear they're after him, and you look at a few clips and you look at the stats and you see that he's put up some good numbers. And at the college level, a super skilled player at the college level, but you wonder how that'll translate to the NHL. So I didn't really have much for expectations on him coming in because I didn't know the player that well. Once I saw him play in the exhibition season and saw what he was capable of, I thought, man, that guy might actually be able to lock down the third line center spot. He looks like he might be able to. He's fast. He's got some aggressiveness to him. A little bit of finish there. So I thought, much like Todd thought, if you can play this guy at center, maybe you can play Draisaitl on the wing. Well, that's exactly what's happening. You got McDavid as the one center. Nugent Hopkins as the two. Draisaitl playing out of position but creating a powerhouse line. And none of that can happen if Caggiula can't lock down that 3C spot. And he's been doing a good job of it lately. His game has been a little bit up and down. Needed a bit of a kick in the rear end from the head coach. Often college players have a tough time getting used to this NHL schedule, the grind of it, because they just don't play this many games and they're not used to it. He's been fine. I think he's been, the last few games, he's been more consistent. He needs to push that through three or four games. But frankly, if the Oilers are going to make the playoffs this year and want to shore themselves up, a third line center is a spot where they could look, because I don't know that depending on Caggiula in a playoff year is as a third line center is necessarily a great idea if they want to keep Draisaitl up. So he's doing an okay job, but he's not necessarily an NHL third line center at this point.
Ryan Hrshog from TSN joins us. A couple of others are something we talked about, Milan Lucic. You mentioned Jordan Eberle. Are you seeing anything from Eberle's game that maybe we're at the end of this funk for him? Because he had a couple opportunities on Saturday night. Are we getting near the end? They say sometimes when you're in a long losing skid, you lose games you shouldn't lose near the end, and it's opposite when you're winning. Is that what we're seeing with Jordan Eberle?
I think we could be getting there. I mean, it's about time. It's been long enough here. I mean, this player is relied on for offense, and there's just been none of it. So I see him trying to work his way to the interior a little bit more. I see him taking some hits to make some plays. I see him seizing opportunity, firing the puck. He's hit a few crossbars and some posts. One or two of those go in and pressure's off. So I would say of all the guys, and whatever you want to call them, the doghouse line, whatever, between Pouliot, Nugent Hopkins, Eberle, and we'll throw Lucic in there as well, I see Eberle as having the best game right now and the closest to breaking out and being able to get back onto a little bit of a pace. But all three, their offensive confidence is in the dumps right now. All three are well-paid guys that provide the meat of the Oilers' secondary scoring, and none of it's contributing. So they got a problem on that second line in forwards 4, 5, 6, and 7, and Eberle's one of them, but I do see some improvement.
The Oilers face the Arizona Coyotes tonight from Rogers Place. They're still in the middle of that homestand. Ryan, to me, a key for the Oilers tonight is to not gift the Arizona Coyotes chances, make them earn every opportunity they get. What do you think is going to be key for the Oilers tonight?
Yeah, well, it is Smith starting?
I'm still certain. Yeah, we're still waiting for confirmation. It looks like that's going to be the start.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't let that guy shoot the lights out tonight. So I know that's easier said than done, because when he gets hot, man, he's got lots of confidence against the Oilers. Mm-hmm. But you can't let him run the show tonight. So whatever that takes, whether it's, I mean, it's all the cliches, it's bodies in front, it's getting shots early, it's trying to make his life difficult, driving the net, just creating a little bit of traffic, using their size. We can't be talking about a sensational performance by Mike Smith, and they need to figure out a way to make sure that doesn't happen. Much easier said than done, but that guy to me is always the key when Arizona faces Edmonton and comes out on the right end.
Absolutely. Puck drop just after 7 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, we have the Don Wheaton on White pregame show. Ryan, last one for you. On Saturday night, I like this because we haven't really seen this too much from the Oilers, but they kind of made fun of themselves. What did you make of the Craig McTavish Hunter? I thought it was hilarious because we haven't really seen the team kind of make a joke or poke fun of themselves. Is that a little too much?
No, I was fine with it. I mean, I think Max, he did a good job.
Yeah.
He kept a straight face, and his acting chops are pretty decent. You know, that's an iconic moment in the Battle of Alberta. And here we are in a game that means something in the standings. They're trying to reignite the flavor of the Battle of Alberta. And I thought it showed a little bit of creativity. I mean, we pile on to the in-game look and feel in that building quite a bit, understanding that they're still learning how to use the building, learning how to make that building feel the right way, the in-house staff is. So I give them credit for thinking outside the box. I thought it was fine. I thought it was funny. Mac T was good. It was a good idea. I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, and because we've been vocal or talking about the in-game experience, I'm not going to complain when they try something like that. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I'm from the school of belief of if you can't poke fun at yourself, everyone else will.
So oh, sure.
Have a good time. And kudos to Craig McTavish. I don't think he's going to be winning any Oscars anytime soon, but it was nice to see him back on the screen. And it's been a long time for Oilers fans. Ryan, I appreciate your time. Thanks for this. Enjoy the game. And I'll chat. Jason's back tomorrow, so I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Okay, this is fun, Mark. Good to talk to you, pal.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Ryan Rashog from TSN.